You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Good morning, Hardin Baptist Church. I'm excited to be able to preach God's Word this morning. And what I want to do this morning is get you out of your comfort zone. Aren't you excited you're here? Get you out of your comfort zone, all right? And the goal here is to get you out of your comfort zone. But as we think through that, before I give the goal, like, what does that even mean when someone says we want to get you out of your comfort zone? I heard a quote from an athlete this week, and he said, the goal is to get you out of your comfort zone so you be uncomfortable, and being uncomfortable, that's your new comfort zone. That does not make sense. All right, what is that? That doesn't make sense. What we want to do this morning here is this. Is challenge you to get out of your comfort zone to rest in God's comfort zone. That's the goal. Get you out of your comfort zone to rest in God's comfort zone. Now, as we do this I want to give a few things up front. One, this text has been hard for me. I've studied it. I've wrestled with it. I mean, there's a section that says, we've entered his rest. And then right after it says we've entered his rest, it says, they haven't entered the rest. It's sort of confusing how this text is laid out. So I want to, this first part of the sermon, I want to just give context. Like if you ever, maybe you've watched a show or and you're in the middle of the season's already gone on and someone says, hey, you need to know these things before you watch. Well, we want to just give some context. Two, after the context has been laid, I want to walk through the text. Third, after we walk through the text, I want to give illustrations, application to bring the text to life. Hopefully saying the same exact thing in the context and in the text and with application and illustration. Makes sense. All right, so here we go. We're going to open to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. We're going to, 1 through 13, excuse me. And we will read this morning at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Would you please stand with me as we read the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, the promise of entering his rest still stands. Let us fear lest any of you should have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For those who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, as I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now. We pray that these next few minutes we'd be challenged to leave our own worldly comfort zone and truly enter and strive to enter into the godly comfort zone by resting in you and you alone. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Part one, context. This chapter, this section is dealing with God's rest. And what we're going to see here, I want to lay out, there's four different types of rest, which I think are in this chapter. The first rest is creation rest. It goes back to Adam and Eve. God rests on the seventh day. And now, because Adam and Eve are in a garden, they get to rest, but not just rest, they get to experience the rest of God. Now, let's think through what rest means, all right? And maybe this afternoon, you leave church and you go watch an NFL game and you find a chair, a comfortable chair, a recliner, and what do? You rest. You might even take a Sunday nap. What does that mean? There's no stress, there's no pressure, you're in a comfortable chair and just resting. People are leaving this week to go on fall break. What's the goal of a vacation? That you're at a comfortable place that you can rest. You might be doing things, you might be going to the beach, you might fish, you might play golf, you might go to a seafood restaurant, but the goal is you're in a, here again, a comfortable place where you can rest. That's what the original intent of creation is that because of who God is, that we get to rest in him being the foundation and enjoy his creation. But what do Adam and Eve do? They sin. They mess up. And because they sin and mess up, now man has a problem. Man's heart does not want to find rest in God, but now is still wanting rest. So what man will do is look for rest in God's creation without following God, but all in the same time being restless. Elvis Presley, right before he died, writes a note and he throws it in the trash can. And the end of the letter, he says, "I will find no rest tonight." And then the last phrase of the letter is, "Help me, Lord." He literally has everything of the world and he is restless. That's the cursed rest. We need help. And God wants to give us help. So what does God do? After the fall, God has a plan. And the plan is to take a group of people, and that group of people, he's going to bring about a Savior. But this group of people, when we read in the Old Testament, actually find themselves in slavery. And what God does, he sets them free from the Egyptian slavery and sets them on a path to the Canaan rest, that they're going to have a land flowing with milk and honey, set free from slavery on that. But as the problem is with these people, as Moses is their leader, instead of being faithful and trusting in God, their hearts are disobedient. Their hearts are not united in faith. And then they are robbed, or not robbed, because of their own disobedience, they now find themselves not entering the land of Canaan, not entering that land of rest. Now there's another guy, Joshua comes along. And Joshua actually enters in. They're able to enter in the promised land with a new generation. But yet at the same time, this Canaan rest, even though they're not, it's better than being an Egyptian slave, it's still not final. There's still wars. There's still conflicts, which leads into the ultimate rest. And that rest is the Christ-centered rest. Basically, what he did on the cross, even when life is hard and difficult, we find rest in him, which points us to a final rest where there will be the curse of sin is completely gone. Now, we learn about this in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, in which Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find what? Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When I think of rest, I think of comfort. I think of being two similar words. And I want you to see in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, how many times the word comfort is used. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction. Even when time is hard, we can find comfort and rest in Christ, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction." And the more we experience this comfort and rest, the more it helps others to experience this comfort while they're going through hard times. And how do we have this? With the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. "For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for," here again, "your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that you suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken. For we know as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our" what? "Comfort." Now, this leads into really what the author of Hebrews is all about in this section. He is saying this church has and can enter in to this Christ-centered rest. But he's concerned, instead of finding comfort from Christ, either two groups. One, they really haven't done that yet. Or two, there could be a temptation to be like the people being under Moses and go back to the cursed comforts of this world. And between what Corey hit on last week in Hebrews chapter 3 and what we'll go on, the author quotes Psalm chapter 95, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. Okay, what's going on in Psalm 95? The beginning of that psalm, he's praising the Lord. He's giving joy for who the Lord is and how great his creation is. But then halfway throughout the psalm, we hit on verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand, meaning we're supposed to rest in him. But then there's this warning. There's this challenge. There's an encouragement. Today, if you hear his heart, hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Even though you're enjoying worshiping, praising God, what's the warning? Don't harden your heart. Don't be like the people under Moses. And then he continues to talk about the rest of the psalm and what happened to the people of Moses. They disobeyed, and the result is verse 11. Therefore, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So here he is, author of Hebrews, mentioning this, these verses five different times saying, hey, you've got the rest, stay there. Or if you haven't got the rest, let today be the day. Don't be like your ancestors. Continue to rest and find comfort in God. All right, that's point one. That's section one. All right, now let's get in the text and talk about comfort and rest in Christ. And we're going to see the different types of rest mentioned here. Let's pick up in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, the promise of entering his rest still stands. Because of Christ, today, no matter where you are, you can enter his rest. But there's also a warning. Let us fear lest any of you should have seemed to have failed to reach it. Meaning there can be people in the church, but yet have not reached this rest. For good, and then he's going back to the, here again, going back to the Canaan rest. For good news came to us just as them, but the message they heard did not benefit them. Why? Because they were not united by faith with those who listened. All right. So that's, bring this to modern day culture and thinking through what these verses mean. He's saying, he's talking about two groups of people, those who've entered it and those maybe have looked like they've entered it, but they've not entered it. How does that apply to us today? All right, I think through like several years ago, I'm on campus and I'm meeting about 15 guys and we're having a conversation. And the thing about Murray State, for the most part, you're going to have kids from Western Tennessee, Southeast Missouri, Southern Illinois, Western Kentucky, that they're maybe not been in church too much, but they've got maybe a Christian worldview. And we're not debating the resurrection. We're not debating whether Jesus did it or not. The debate here is that who they really want to live for, okay? So we're having this conversation, and they're getting the gospel. They are locked on me. I mean, and I said, I'm asking the questions. Do you believe that God is holy and just? Yes. Do you believe that you're sinful? Yes. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? It's not based on your work. It's based on what he has done for you. Yes. Do you believe that you need to repent and trust in him? Yes. Do you believe if you do that, you'll now be with him forever and be in a new earth and new heaven? Yes. Do you believe if you don't do that, you will go to hell? Yes. At this moment, my heart starts pounding. I'm like, okay, 15 guys are getting ready to come to Christ. And something happens to this day, it still breaks my heart. Guy raises his hand, leader of the group, and looks at me, says this, Chris, we agree with everything you're saying. You're right. But we want to continue to live for our sin. Another 14 went. Now, here's what's sad, and here's what breaks my heart. I had that conversation, probably I've had that conversation every single semester, if not every single month of doing college ministry. Now, we think through that, and we think through, it's just so sad because they're not getting the benefit of the rest. They're not getting the benefit of Christ. Here again, these kids can be going home, saying hi to grandma, going back home to their churches, but they've truly not entered to a place where they're finding comfort and rest in Christ. They're much more finding comfort and rest in the world than they are Christ. Like, here again, the conversations I have all the time, they're anxious, they're stressed, they're worn out, and when it comes to the weekend, they just want to rest in the world. Not rest in Christ. Now they know, here again, I need to do these things, but really what my heart's desire is to rest in the world. Now, when you think about the 18 or 19 year old, but what the author of Hebrews is saying, that can also apply to us today in this building. You could be in this church agreeing with everything that is being said, with the songs that you're saying, or what you're listening to, but in reality, your heart is finding more comfort in the world than the Word of God. If anything should cause us to be anxious, it should be that. Now, the good news is there are people in this church, and I believe in this Hebrew church, and I believe there are people at Hardin Baptist Church that have definitely believed. Verse 3, for we who have believed enter that rest. Now, but then it sort of gets a little confusing. He says, guess what? We've entered that rest. And if you've entered that rest, you know what I'm talking about this morning. Your Christ is your source of comfort and rest and satisfaction, no matter what's happened in your life. But then he says this, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not have my rest. He just says, you've entered the rest. But then he goes back to what? He goes back to Psalm chapter 95 and gives a warning. Remember the people of Moses. They experience a part in the Red Sea and they disobeyed. So even people who have entered the rest, he's giving them a warning. Yes, you've entered the rest, but remember your ancestors' past. But then he also, in the midst of your ancestors, he wants this congregation to remember God. And then he picks up here and continue in verse 3. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. This beautiful rest in creation, that it's God's design, that we're not just supposed to rest. We rest with him. We rest in him and experience. Think about just resting with the king. Like of all the benefits of an earthly king, this is the heavenly king, and he wants us to rest with him. But what did we do? We sin. And here again, the author's concerned about us sinning and forgetting this creation rest which God laid out for us at the very beginning. And we pick up now in the next verse. And again in this passage, he said, and again, like this is the fourth time he said Psalm chapter 95. He knows he's saying it multiple times. And again in this passage, he says what? They shall not enter my rest. Here again, another warning. Now we pick up the next verse. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. He's saying this, you can enter it. But remember the past, here again, repeat himself, those who had good news did not receive the benefit. Why? Because of disobedience, because they were not united in faith. But the good news is, even if that's been you, we have hope today. Verse 7, and again, he points a certain day. Now, when is that certain day? What does he say? Today. The good news is, if you're here, I've never entered that rest. I've never experienced that comfort. I've been going to church and never truly had. Today is the day you can enter in and experience that. Now, we continue on here, saying through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, if you hear the voice of God speaking to you, do not harden your hearts. If you are not a believer in your room, do not harden your heart. Enter that rest. If you are a believer in this room and you're struggling and you're wanting to wander, do not harden your heart. Hear his voice for you. Enter his rest and comfort. And we bring up Joshua. For Joshua had given them rest. God would not have spoken of another day later on. Now, what he's talking about is here again, the people under Moses enter in, but Joshua and the people and this new generation does enter in. And when they enter in, it's like, hey, that's great. But Joshua sort of seems like the savior, but he's not the savior. The true savior, and what he's referring to, is Jesus. And because of what Jesus has done, it's not a Canaan rest. It's not a creation rest. No, it's a new creation rest. And we can pick on the next verse. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. This Sabbath rest is a different type of rest. If you look at the original language, it means like you celebrate, you rejoice. It's like you are now resting like you've never rested before because Christ is in you. All right? And so verse 10, for whoever has entered this rest, this celebratory, joyful rest, has also rested from his works as God did from his. I hear this all the time. I got to clean up my act, Chris. I got to do these things. You don't have to clean up your act. You don't have to do all these works. No, all you have to do is what? Rest in who? Christ. Rest in his works. And now you experience a comfort like never before. Now, at the same time, here again, and he's saying this, let us strive to enter that rest. So no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. He keeps on encouraging him like, hey, don't keep striving. Now, here's my question. Why? Why does he have to do this? Like, if the creator of the heavens and the universe wants to give you rest and comfort, why not run into it? If someone says to you, hey, I'm going to give you the most comfortable vacation, tropical resort, it's paid for. Just go and enjoy. Go and rest. What are we doing? Let's go. And yet, he's also challenging them to not back out of the all-inclusive paid resort. Now, why? Why? And I think it comes to the next couple verses. Verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So what's the word of God do? This message that did not benefit the people under Moses because they did not enter the rest. This message, but it's actually good news. But it's sort of uncomfortable news. Why is it uncomfortable news? Because when we really hear the word of God, it's like a sword going right to what? Our heart. The intentions of our heart. Verse 13, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked, and I want you to see this next phrase, and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Now, here's why I think it can be a struggle for us to enter and stay in this Christ-centered heavenly rest. Because it involves us getting out of our keyword, comfort zone. You see, when we really get in this book, it's going to cut to the heart. And we're going to start seeing some things. And these are the things we're going to start seeing. I really sort of like where I am in the world. I like fill in the blank. They could be sinful things. They could be good things. But ultimately, they're not God things. And we just want to stay right where we are. That's cutting. In reality, though, God wants to take us from the good things of the world to godly rest. Now, I want to go to another passage to flesh this out a little bit. I want to go to John chapter 3, verse 16 through 21, to talk about this a little more. When you turn to John, this is the famous passage of Nicodemus, and Jesus is talking to Nicodemus here, this religious ruler, this leader who has so much going on for him, and yet at the same time, here he is, Jesus is saying, guess what? Despite your natural birth, you need a spiritual birth. And it leads into John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Now we see why in verse 19 he's not wanting to believe. And this is the judgment. The light, John chapter 1, the word, has come into the world. And people love what? The darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Now, why do we not want Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13? It's going to show what of us? It's going to show we're evil. We want to stay in our comfort zone, believing we're good. But when the word starts penetrating our heart, we're not. We're evil. Let's continue on here. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to light. Now, why does he or she not come to light? Lest his works should be exposed. Now, when I'm sharing this passage with folks, trying to get them to see their need for Jesus, I go use this passage a lot. Almost every single time I walk through this passage, you know what the response is? It's easier to stay in the dark. It's easier to stay in the dark. I'm comfortable here. Stay in the dark. I don't have to worry all these questions. If I go over here to Christ, what are people going to say? I've got my friends. I'm comfortable here. I've got this relationship. I'm comfortable here. I've got my career. I'm comfortable here. Fill in the blank. I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable. It's just so easy to stay in the dark and not believe we're evil. Because if you really get in this book, what's going to happen? All of a sudden, we realize and understand we're living for cursed comfort that's going to lead to our destruction. But yet at the same time, that's the absolute best news we need to hear. A good doctor does not lie, finds out that you have cancer, does not lie and say you don't have cancer. A good doctor tells you the truth. This book tells the truth about who you are. And also, when you understand the truth about who you are and you truly see your heart, it leads to you being what? Uncomfortable. Uncomfortable in who? You. And you realize and understand, and I realize and understand, we have to do what? Get out of our comfort zone. Now let's read the next verse. Verse 21. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. You see, when we enter this rest and continue striving this rest, by letting God's word speak to our heart, cut to our heart, it continues not only on a moment of salvation, but through our sanctification. It continues to make us uncomfortable in us, but it leads to a heart that's no longer dark, that's filled with light. It leads to a lifestyle that's restless, to a lifestyle that can have rest and peace in Christ. It leads into trying to please every single person to cover up our identity, to know that we're completely comfortable who we are because we're loved and forgiven by the creator of the heavens and the universe. It leads to this absolute life change that no matter what comes our way, no matter how hard it might be, we now have peace and comfort, and we can always rest in the midst of the storms. Even when we don't know the why, we know the who, and the who's never going to let us go. And here we have this battle. Which comfort zone do we want to be in? Do we want to stay in our comfort zone and just rest in darkness? Or do we let the Word of God penetrate our hearts and rest in Him? That's right, Austin. Part two. Now part three. How do we bring this to life? How do we do this? All right. Now remember, this guy has quoted Psalm 95 between Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4 five times. All right? He's trying to make a point. He's trying to encourage people. You either haven't entered in and you need to enter in, or if you enter in, you need to keep striving. Now, I want to say something here too, and I deal with a lot of folks all over this area sharing the gospel with them, and I think there's three really important questions when it comes to our salvation, and the three important questions is, have you been saved? Has there been a moment in your life where you've had a life change, maybe a moment, maybe a season, but you've had a life change and you've come to Christ? Two, are you in Christ? Right now, are you in Christ? Third, will you be with Christ when He comes back? In other words, have you been saved? Are you saved? Will you be saved? Now, here is where our culture, so much, I think, in the Christian culture, we only want to focus on the first one. Like, well, I was saved when I was 8 years old. And then he lived like hell. And then, well, I'm okay. That's a lie. Then the other thought here is this, too. It's like then if someone falls away, we're like, well, were they really saved? Scripture is not concerned about that question, were they really saved? Scripture is concerned about question number two and question number three. Are you saved? Right now, are you finding comfort in Christ? Three, and if you truly have found comfort in Christ, will you be ready? Will you, is your life in such a way where you have truly found comfort in him, that you are secure, that you are ready and longing and wanting him because he is your comfort, he is your rest. And what the author of Hebrews is saying is, I'm not saying we lose our salvation, but if we're truly saved, we will persevere. We will endure. Does that make sense? Now, let's get an illustration. I got Coach Josh over there. This is good. All right, my kids just finished up New Christian, New Covenant Christian Academy cross-country season. All right? All right, now this is how it works, all right? You have this cross-country meet, and if you've ever been to one of these things, you've got like a ton of people there, like I got 10, I don't know how many, a bunch of schools here, all right? All these schools here, okay? Now, and then they, like the, each team will have their tent, and in their tent, they've got, you know, got Gatorade and snacks, and they've got the snow cone machine, and they got all this type of stuff that you can have, and they've got blaring music going on. It's a really fun atmosphere, okay? People are just hanging out. Now, the coach, Josh, over there, one of his jobs is that these kids can just be sitting there. He's got to get them to the starting line, okay? He's got them. If they're truly a runner, they've got to get to the starting line, okay? And then, here's what happens. They get the starting line, and they get this big crowd, okay? Then the gun goes off. What does everybody do? Yeah, go, 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 go! And here these kids just take off. Okay, a couple weeks ago, I'm in Marshall County, and we're with Luke and Megan Thomas. And here again, these races are only like a mile and a half, 2 miles. So if you're not careful, you just literally see your kid take off in like a herd of other middle schoolers, and then hopefully you see him at the finish line. So there's a strategy you got to do. Like, you're about running the same amount they're running, because then what you do here is as soon as the race takes off, there's got to be a strategy. Where do you go next? So Megan had this all mapped out. So here the race takes off, and then Megan says, all right, we're going to go here and see him at this part of the race. Because you know, through Marshall County, it's like this big yard, and so a big air, grassy area. So here we walk over here. All right, and what do? Go, 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 go. There's someone behind you. Keep going, keep going, keep going. All right. And then Megan is saying, okay, we can cut around here. So we're trying to cut around here. And then like, and what do? All right, here comes Rax, here comes New Covenant. Go, 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 keep going, keep going, keep going, all right? And then Megan is like, okay, hey, there's this long area where it's gonna be tough to get to, all right? We're not gonna see, why don't we just go to the finish line? Okay, so here we go, we go to the finish line, all right? And then what we do, even have a strategy finish line. This is the end of the race. They're tired. There's a big hill. It's going to be difficult. Okay, now, so Brandy and her side of the family is at the finish line. Here's the finish line. Okay, I'm saying, okay, hey, I want to encourage, Graham's hurt. I want to encourage Brax to be at, so I'm going to go not the finish line. I'm going to go at a different spot. Okay, and I'm going to go further down. There's Brandy. Okay, and then in the corner of my eye, I see Coach Nick Colefield. All right. And so he's further down. So we've really got this last part of the lap race. And here again, I'm trying to figure out Brax. He's from a distance, trying to see where he is. And then all of a sudden, I see Coach Nick say, go, Brax, go, go, Brax. I mean, this is the end of the race, all right? So here, and then about the time Nick's voice fades, I pick up, come on, Brax, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. All right, and then here comes Brax in, and it's an amazing scene. Here he is. He crosses the finish line, and here again, his whole family's there with him to celebrate. He finished the rest, and here again, he can rest. And here's what I love about those races as well. Everybody finishes it, all right? They start out, and they've got this little four-wheeler. It starts out, and the kids are on the four-wheeler. And then at the same time as you're running this race, even the last one here again, it's finishing. There's a four-wheeler pushing that kid along, making sure that he or she finishes the race all at the same time. Complete strangers are encouraging this kid to cross the finish line. Now, let's make the application. Right now, you can be in church. You can look the part. You can have the uniform on. Instead of the snow cones, you can be eating the donuts. You can be, instead of listening to the music at Marshall County, you can be listening to the bluegrass band. And you can be a part of the culture. But if you're truly not, have not entered the race, this is what's going to happen. You're going to slowly drift away. Maybe not today, but you're never truly have entered the race. You might look it, might even act it, but something will happen. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, Here again, earlier in Hebrews, drifting away. That crushes me when I see that happen in the church. Just crushes me. And yet at the same time, I believe in the race. I believe I'm secure. When I see that happen, it scares me to death. And my prayer is this, Lord, please let me continue to run. I need you. Even though I feel like I'm secure, I know what? I'm tempted to drift away. And I need Psalm 95, not once, not twice, not three, not four, not five times. Just continue to hear that truth. I think like even like with college ministry, this is how so many times, and I think this illustration not only applies to them, but applies to us. All right, I can have a student that maybe look like they're in a race, but they're not in a race. They're coming to Sunday school. They're coming to Bible studies. They're listening. But Christ has never truly been their rest. And I'm having these conversations, these battles, these conversations like, hey, for their heart, rest in Christ. Now, they come to Christ, all right? You know what I tell them to do next? We need to get baptized. So the screen pops up Sunday morning, and then you see that kid gets baptized, all right? And as I have that conversation with baptism, I say this. Your baptism is a picture, not as the race being finished, but the race beginning. That now, your life has just begun. And there's a couple of things you need to know. You need the church, and the church needs you. Because you're going to go on this journey, and there's going to be times that you need spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers and spiritual brothers and spiritual sisters to point you back to the Word of God. And there's going to be times, it might be like sweet Megan clapping you on. It might be like Nick, go, go, go. But in those moments and in those times, you're going to need them. And usually for that young man or young woman, it starts about 2 or 3 weeks after they come to Christ. Here they are, they've come to Christ. They get baptized like they're never going to sin again. And what happens a few weeks from now? Those struggles hit in. Those cursed comforts want to come back in. What's so-and-so going to think about me? How's this relationship going to be? How am I going to handle mom and dad? All these different things. All of a sudden, and what we're saying here, no, keep going, keep going. Find comfort in Christ. Find rest in Christ. He's all you need. And then here again, we graduate, and then there's marriage, and there's children, and there's challenges, and there's finances, and there's sometimes struggles in all those areas. When we say, no, keep going back to the Word of God. Let Him speak to you. Do not harden yours. Today is a day. Internet rest. Keep striving in that rest. And then there's things sometimes that happen into our life, and their lives and our lives, where we don't know the why, we don't know what's going on. There's no answer for this tragedy and this situation. But yet at the same time, we keep finding our rest and comfort in this book, because this book is telling us who our God is and what He has done for us. And finding, even amidst the storm, we can find rest and comfort knowing who He is and what He has done for us. And we continue to live this lifestyle, running that race, the hills, all at the same time, where we have people encouraging us. We're encouraging us all to finish the race. Now, all that being said, what's so glorious and what's so good as we run this race, here's what happened. Eventually, if we're truly a believer, through persevering, by enduring, by resting in Christ, we reach the finish line. And here's what happens when we reach the finish line. There are two funerals happening when we reach the finish line. Funeral number one is us. We're dead. But it's not really a funeral. What that means here is the coffin closes on us. We're now just alive with Christ. But there's a second funeral that happens on that day. The death of sin. Because of what happened on the cross of Christ, sin was defeated. And now the coffin has been closed on sin forever. And now we get to reach the final resting place to be with King Jesus forever. Enjoying the comforts, enjoying the rest in a new earth and new heaven for eternity. That's the challenge. That's the thought. And here we are. Here where we are today. So what do we do with this? You can, right now, continue to rest in the lazy boy of this world and find comforts in this world. Even if you entered it, we're saying you can be tempted to go back to that. Or you continue to let this word speak to your life, reminding you who you are, that you are in Ephesians 2, once dead, but made alive. But not just made alive, raised. Not just raised. And you're in a new type of seat. A heavenly seat with Christ. Synced with Christ. Forever enjoying the riches of God's kindness and grace forever. Where are you? Where are you right now? So as the band comes out here in a minute, I want you to think where you are. If you have not entered God's rest, my challenge is let today be the day. Two, if you have entered God's rest, my challenge, and but yet you're wanting to stray, you're wanting to sit down on the grass, my challenge is that you take some time right now and don't get out of your comfort. Don't stay in your comfort zone in this world. Let the word of God speak to your heart that you continue to find comfort in Christ and continue running for him. Three, right now, if you're finding comfort in Christ, my encouragement and challenge to you, live such a way where you point others to continue to cheer others on that they might find comfort and rest in only the way Christ can give it, so that you and them will all cross the finish line together.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.